Praise the Lord. We're going to look at an interesting area tonight, and that's the use of the word firmament in the King James Bible. And we're going to see that when the Bible uses a word, and we've gone through several times in this sermon series on the use of particular words in the King James Bible, and often these words are completely lacking in modernist versions, which shows that the modernist versions, in their replacement of particular words, are actually taking away meaning which God intended to be there. And there's this example of the word firmament is a wonderful example of how modern versions take away meaning completely out, which the Lord wanted in. If you have a look at Proverbs 30 verse 5, we can see that God did indeed preserve every word and that he wants every word to matter. So there's no word that is flippantly placed in the Bible, but every word is in fact full of the meaning that God intended it to have. So if you see a particular word in the King James Bible, and we know God has preserved his word right up today, and the Bible we have in our hands is the pure word. If we look in Proverbs 30 verse 5, we see every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So every word of God is pure. We're going to look at the word firmament used in the King James Bible. But before that, we just want to lay down a couple of things, and that's the word heaven and what the Bible refers to as heaven. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, we see something quite interesting here. I'll read it first and then comment on it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. So you see that term, third heaven. And the Bible talks about, when the Bible talks about third heaven, it means there's a first heaven and a second heaven as well. And there's a third heaven. The Bible doesn't talk about anything more than three heavens. So we see here in this scripture that there is a third heaven, and if you look at the context of that, you'll see that that third heaven is the heaven where God dwells, where his throne is, and where those who die in Christ go to after death. So we understand that the third heaven is where God has his throne. If you go to Genesis 1, verse 1, we see that it was the third heaven, or what we say is the third heaven positionally from the planet Earth, because the first heaven is closest to the Earth. The second heaven positionally is second closest, and the third heaven is third closest from the Earth. So we see here, in Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So we see the heaven is the place where God's throne is, where there's spiritual creatures and spiritual places there. It's a spiritual place, and yet it does have a position. It does have a position in the universe. We believe that, and we should believe that heaven is the center. And everything that God has created is around that center. So God created the heaven, first of all. That's the first thing he created. And the earth. You see that the earth is where man lives. Natural man. And of course we see here that right at the beginning, this is what happened. The heaven and the earth. Now this is referring to the third heaven. And if you go down a little bit further, you can see in verses 6 to 8 that God then made another heaven, which he calls the firmament, and we know as the atmosphere today. It says in verse 6, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." We understand from here that the Bible tells us about the creation of what we know as the atmosphere. It calls it the firmament and talks about the dividing of waters. And we see that there's waters above the firmament, and we know that as a canopy, which at the time of the flood collapsed and changed everything on the earth. But we see here that there was, at that stage, there was a creation, the firmament divided the waters, so that there was a canopy above the waters, as it said, divide the waters from the waters in verse 6. And it says in verse 7, "And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament," which of course would include the oceans and the rivers and the seas and so on, "from the waters which are above the firmament." And notice it says above the firmament. So clearly there were waters at this stage above the firmament, most likely in an ice form, and the waters below the firmament are, of course, in a liquid and vapor form as well. So we understand that the firmament, therefore, is the atmosphere, and God calls that particular firmament heaven as well. Now, that's the first heaven. The atmosphere is the first heaven. The use of the word firmament is very interesting because it gives an idea of something that is firm. Something that is firm. Even though when you put your hand through the air at the moment, you might think, well, it doesn't feel firm to me at the moment. But in fact, if you tried to go from outer space and enter into the atmosphere at a high velocity, you'll soon find that it is very firm to that high velocity object trying to enter the atmosphere. And in fact, rockets that need to return to the Earth have to come at a particular angle in order to enter into the atmosphere. Otherwise, they'll either burn up or they'll bounce off. So the atmospheric heaven is the first or lowest heaven with respect to Earth. And the waters were above the firmament or atmosphere as some sort of canopy that was later released at the great flood of Noah's time. We don't have time to go into detail about that. If you have a look at Genesis 7 verses 11 and 12, we'll just have a quick look here, and you'll see that at the time of the flood, there was indeed that opening. Genesis 7, 11 and 12 says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." Now notice the windows of heaven, which tells us that, and that's talking about the atmospheric heaven, the firmament, the first heaven there. The windows were heaven of heaven were open. That means that then the canopy, the water that was above the firmament was able to then come through and collapse onto the earth or come into the earth. And so we can see that's one of the areas where water came from. The windows of heaven were open, and also there were the fountains of the great deep broken up. So we understand that quite clearly. Now, the word firmament is quite important to see. It comes from the Latin firmamentum, from firmare, to strength or make firm, anything which strengthens or supports. So we see that if you actually put in place of the word firmament something like expanse, which is what the New International Version puts, then you're taking away from that from the scripture, taking away the idea of something that's firm. And so the word firmament is very, very important to give an idea of something that is strong or firm. And we'll learn more about that in a minute as we go through that. Now, the second heaven is the place where the planets, the moon, the stars are located, and it's known as space, and it's between the Earth's atmosphere and the third heaven. But a careful reading of Genesis 1 reveals what the second heaven actually is. If you look at Genesis 1, verses 14 to 19, we'll see the idea of that. Now, what we see here, if you look at, this is a picture that comes from Miles Coverdale Bible, and you can see God as the creator there, and this is 1535. There was a particular, in 1535, there was this idea that God and where he is at the center of creation, and you can see that the stars, and you see the moon and the planets and so on, are all as part of what we call the starry heavens or the second heaven. And this is very important because if you look at Genesis 1, what we notice, and we'll look at Genesis 1 verses 14 to 19, it uses the term the firmament of the heaven. So if this is where God is, we can call this the place where God is the heaven, because in the beginning God created the heaven, so that's the third heaven. Then the firmament of the heaven is not the same as the firmament of the earth, which we read about before. The firmament of the heaven is the second heaven. And so if you look at verse 14, it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Verse 17, "And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Now, notice it says the lights are in the firmament of the heaven. So it couldn't be, and this is talking about the sun and the moon and the stars, it couldn't be then the lights were in the atmosphere. It doesn't make any sense. So it's talking about the firmament of the third heaven here, and the lights, or the stars, moon, and so on, were placed in the firmament of the third heaven. And that makes perfect sense when you look at it that way. But if you look at it if you think, oh, well, when it says firmament there, it must be talking about atmosphere. No, it's not talking about firmament of the earth there. It's talking about firmament of the heaven there, or the area around heaven itself, the third heaven. So we see now that there are three heavens. The first heaven is our atmosphere, and it's called the firmament of the earth. The second heaven is where all the stars and the moon and so on are all located, and the planets. And that's the firmament of the heaven where God is. And that's what it says in, for example, verse 14, "Let there be light in the firmament of the heaven," talking about of the third heaven. And the third heaven is where God himself is. Okay. Now, I hope I haven't confused anyone, but it is quite easy to understand with just a little bit of study. So, much criticism has been levelled against the concept of the atmospheric firmament because of the two erroneous assumptions that the stars and moon and planets are in the firmament of Earth. But people aren't reading it right if they're saying that. And also, the other erroneous assumption is that the firmament of the earth does not have any firmness or structural strength. Now, I've already addressed that first assumption. I've already said that the stars and moon and that are not in the atmosphere or in the firmament of the earth, but are in the firmament of the third heaven. In other words, the area around the third heaven. And that encompasses, in fact, the whole of creation. So God is the centre of his creation, and everything around his creation is structured. Is structured, and you can see they must have had right back to Coverdale and King James and so on, right back into history, they must have had this idea that God was at the centre of his creation. And I believe that that's been lost. And it's been lost certainly in the modern versions. When you, if you read Genesis 1 in, say, the NIV, you would completely not get the idea that God is at the centre of his creation or that there is a firmament of the heaven. The second assumption, that the firmament of the earth does not have any firmness or structural strength, is incorrect. Because in fact there is several ways we can see that the that there is structure of the firmament of the earth, which is the first heaven. We notice in this assumption that there is this idea that because the word firmament gives an idea of structure, then it couldn't possibly be right, because the atmosphere, like when we walk through the air, it seems as though we can go through it quite easily. But the fact is that the Bible does say that the atmosphere and the word firmament does denote strength. If you look at Job 37 verse 18, you'll be able to see what it says here. Job 37 verse 18. It says, "Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong, and as a molten looking glass?" So this shows us that the sky has firmament, a firmness or strength, and secondly, that the sky has reflective properties, both of which are accurate. Now, Time Life Books, in a 1988 book, had an article. This is in the book Planet Earth Atmosphere, had an article entitled "Piercing the Earth's Ethereal Armor." So it talked about the atmosphere as being like an armor. And once an object flies over a certain speed through the atmosphere, it starts to heat up through friction and disintegrate. And this is what it said. The atmosphere's onion-like structure, notice it refers to structure, the atmosphere's onion-like structure extending nearly 2,000 miles into space protects the Earth and its inhabitants from bombardment by missiles ranging from the tiny invisible bits of solar wind to the occasional meteor flaming across the sky. Also says, just as the atmosphere shields the planet from space debris, so too does it present a truly formidable barrier to homeward bound spacecraft. They must enter the atmosphere at a shallow angle to ensure that the air will slow them without causing a disastrous build-up of frictional heat. That comes from pages 16 and 17 of Planet Earth Atmosphere. So we understand that there is indeed firmness to the firmament. And so the King James Bible is absolutely correct in saying or using the word firmament with respect to the atmosphere. And no doubt if we were to study more the firmament of the heaven, we would see the same type of thing, that there is structure in that as well. If you have a look at Psalm 33, verse 6, Psalm 33, verse 6, we see here the word heavens used. Psalm 33, verse 6. It says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." So it refers to heavens, plural. And so we need to understand, okay, when we die and go to heaven, we're going to the third heaven. And that's a spiritual place. But it does have a position as being central to creation. Just like hell has a position which is central to the earth. So when we talk about going down to hell, we know that it's positionally located in the centre of the earth. So heaven is positionally located in the centre of God's creation. Praise the Lord. So we see the different heavens. We've talked about the firmament of the earth, which is the atmosphere. We've talked about the firmament of the heaven, which encompasses everything outside of the third heaven. Praise the Lord. The Bible also mentions another mention of firmament is in Ezekiel 1, verses 22 to 26, which we can comment on as well here. And this gives an idea of structure as well, and you'll see that as we read it. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 22 to 26. Now this is talking about particular spiritual beings, and you'll see that there was something around these spiritual beings, and we'll have a look at what it's saying here, starting from verse 22 of Ezekiel 1. "And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the colour of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above, and under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two which covered on this side, and everyone had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. And when they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it." Notice it uses the word upon it. "And I saw..." We won't go any further than that for a minute. So we see in verse 26 that there was over the heads of these particular spiritual beings, there was this structure, which it calls firmament. And it says that upon it, upon the firmament, was a throne, and it says there, "And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as of the appearance of a man above upon it." So there was the throne, and there was also the man on it. So upon it, upon the throne, and upon the firmament here, we see therefore that the firmament is something that did have structure, and it did have a place. It had a place above the heads of the spiritual creatures. You can think of it as some sort of spherical structure around these living creatures, as it calls in verse 22. And there was something above this spherical structure, and the living creatures were below the spherical structure as well. So when the Bible uses the word firmament, it's talking about something that has structure. You can also see it in Ezekiel 10 verse 1. If you look at that, Ezekiel 10 verse 1. "Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne." So once again, there's talking about this firmament, this spherical structure that could be seen and was definitely over these cherubims, which were particular types of angels. So we understand that the word firmament is not something we should throw out. And yet, if we read, for example, the New International Version, I'll read part of that in Genesis 1, 6 to 8. But before we do, let's go back to Genesis 1, 6 to 8 so that we can compare what the true Bible says compared to what the modern version says here. Genesis 1, 6 to 8 says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." So we see that in the second day of creation, God created this atmospheric firmament which divided the waters. And we've talked about that. Now, the New International Version, I want you to listen to what it says here, and it completely takes away the idea of firmness and uses the word expanse. Starting from verse 6 to verse 8 in the NIV, "And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day." There's quite a number of problems in that. You see the word expanse. If you think of expanse, well, it just really doesn't hold any meaning whatsoever of structure. And you'll see here it also says that God called the expanse sky. Immediately takes away the doctrine of the heavens. Because when God talks about the third heaven, you want to be able to go back into Scripture and find out, well, what's the first and the second heaven? We've already identified what the first heaven is, which is the firmament of the earth, and the second heaven, which is the firmament of the third heaven, which is where God is. So the doctrine of the heavens is undermined as well there. We also see in verse 14, and I'll just read verse 14 in the King James Bible, the true Bible, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Now, if we were to read that in the NIV, it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years." So we see here lights in the expanse of the sky. So it takes away this idea of the firmament of the heaven. It completely undermines the doctrine of the heavens. So we need to see that there is clear dangers when we go away from using what the King James Bible has, and the use of the word firmament has exactly the right information that God wants to bring forth. If you take away and change that information, you see, God wants us to learn what these words mean. He doesn't want us to substitute these words for words that don't mean what He wants them to, what He was wanting to communicate. If you have a look at Job 38 verses 1 and 2, and we can address this whole issue, Job 38 verses 1 and 2, that when the modern version starts to use words that God didn't intend to be used, they're really words without knowledge, or words without a basis of knowledge. You see, the word firmament has the knowledge that God wants to give to His people, wants to give to mankind. If you look at Job 38, verses 1 and 2, you'll notice that God made a statement about words without knowledge. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" So he's talking about words but they're without the knowledge of God, and they start to darken counsel. They cause people to actually not know things and not have the counsel of God and not have the wisdom of God in their life. So there are indeed words without knowledge that darken counsel, and I believe that's what people get into when they get into the modern versions. And we've gone through quite a few areas now. We've gone through things like the word ghost and so on, where we need to take what the Bible has and look and see, well, what's the Bible saying and why is it using this particular word? And lastly, let's have a look at Job 42, verses 1 to 3. Job 42, verses 1 to 3. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. You see, people can utter things and say, well, you know, we're trying to simplify it and bring it into the contemporary language, but by doing that, by going against the idea of having to study the word, by undermining the Bible, by replacing words, it's taking away knowledge. It's darkening counsel. And it's causing things to go backwards. But that's not what we are. We are people that hold to the pure word. God's word is very pure. We hold to that, and every word of God is pure, we read before. We see that the word firmament is laden with the knowledge that God wants to communicate to his people. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the preciseness and purity of the word of God. And we want to be people that learn of your word and every word that you have in your word as pure. We want to learn about that and want to teach others that they're not to substitute or go away from the pure word in the name of Jesus. We ask that you help us this week, Lord, as we study your word and as we believe it and receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.